Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today's episode is part 10 of our 10-part series on biological and chemical evolution problems. This episode is titled, Neo-Darwinism has a long history of inaccurate Darwinian predictions about vestigial organs and junk DNA. And this series has been taken from a chapter in a book titled More Than Myth, published by Chartwell Press in 2014 and edited by Robert Stackpole and Paul Brown. For decades, evolutionists have claimed that our bodies and genomes are full of useless parts and genetic material, vestigial organs, showing that life is the result of eons of unguided evolution. During the Scopes trial in 1925, evolutionary biologist Horatio Hackett Newman contended that there are over 180 vestigial organs and structures in the human body, sufficient to, quote, make man a veritable walking museum of antiquities, unquote. Over time, however, these predictions of vestigial body parts and useless DNA have not held true. As scientists have learned more and more about the workings of biology, important functions and purposes have been discovered for these so-called vestigial structures. Indeed, in 2008, the journal New Scientist reported that, since the days of Professor Newman, the list of vestigial organs, quote, grew, then shrank again, to the point that today, quote, biologists are extremely wary of talking about vestigial organs at all, unquote. Such structures that were previously and incorrectly considered to be vestigial include the tonsils. At one time, they were routinely removed. Now it's known they serve a purpose in the lymph system and help to fight infection. There's also the coccyx, or tailbone. Many evolutionists still claim this is a holdover from the tails of our supposed primate ancestors, but it's actually a vital part of our skeleton used for attaching muscles, tendons, and ligaments that support the bones in our pelvis. The thyroid. This gland in our neck was once believed to have no purpose and was ignored or even destroyed by medical doctors operating under false Darwinian assumptions. Now scientists know that it's vital for regulating metabolism. Finally, there's the appendix. Darwinian scientists have long claimed that the appendix is a vestige of our herbivorous ancestry, and over eons of evolution, its function in humans has been diminished or lost. But it's now known that the appendix performs important functions, such as providing a storehouse for beneficial bacteria, producing white blood cells, and playing important roles in fetal development. In light of this evidence, Duke University immunologist William Parker observed, quote, many biology texts today still refer to the appendix as a vestigial organ, but it's, quote, time to correct the textbooks, unquote. Despite the poor track record of claiming organs were vestigial, evolutionary biologists have applied the same kind of thinking to our genomes. Many have postulated that the random nature of mutations would fill our genomes with useless genetic garbage, dubbed junk DNA. This hypothesis was seemingly confirmed when it was discovered that only about 2% of the human genome codes for proteins, leaving the other 98% unexplained. Many scientists who serve as spokespersons for evolutionary biology have claimed this evidence provides case-closed evidence for Darwinian evolution. For example, Brown University evolutionary biologist Kenneth Miller argues that, quote, the human genome is littered with pseudogenes, gene fragments, orphan genes, junk DNA, and so many repeated copies of pointless DNA sequences that it cannot be attributed to anything that resembles intelligent design, unquote. Richard Dawkins likewise writes that, quote, creationists might spend earnest time speculating on why the creator should bother to litter genomes with untranslated pseudogenes and junk tandem repeat DNA, unquote. In his 2006 book, The Language of God, Francis Collins claimed that some 45% of the human genome is made up of, quote-unquote, genetic flotsam and jetsam. Flotsam and jetsam, of course, is useless trash floating in the ocean. Sounding much like Dawkins, he makes the implications clear, stating, quote, unless one is willing to take the position that God has placed shared functionless repetitive DNA in these precise positions to confuse and mislead us, the conclusion of a common ancestor for humans and mice is virtually inescapable, unquote. The problem with these arguments isn't so much theological as it is scientific. Numerous examples of function have been discovered for so-called junk DNA. Biologist Richard Sternberg surveyed the literature and found extensive evidence for function of repetitive DNA. Writing in the Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences, he found that functions for repeat DNA include forming higher-order nuclear structures, centrosomes, telomeres, and nucleation centers for DNA methylation. Repetitive DNA was found to be involved in cell proliferation, cellular response, gene translation, and DNA repair. Sternberg concluded that, quote, the selfish junk DNA narrative and allied frameworks must join the other icons of neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory that, despite their variance with the empirical evidence, nevertheless persist in the literature, unquote. Other research has continued to uncover functions for various types of repetitive DNA, including sign, line, and ALU sequences. One paper even suggested that repetitive ALU sequences might be involved in the development of higher brain function in humans. Numerous other functions have been discovered for various types of non-protein coding DNA, including repairing DNA, assisting in DNA replication, assisting DNA transcription, aiding in folding and maintenance of chromosomes, controlling RNA editing and splicing, helping to fight disease, and regulating embryological development. Sternberg, along with University of Chicago geneticist James Shapiro, predicted in 2005 in the journal Cytogenetic and Genomic Research that, quote, one day we will think of what used to be called junk DNA as a critical component of truly expert cellular control regimes, unquote. The day foreseen by Sternberg and Shapiro may have come sooner than they expected. In September 2012, the journal Nature reported results of a years-long research project involving over 400 international scientists studying the functions of non-coding DNA in humans. Called the ENCODE Project, its set of 30 groundbreaking papers reported that the vast majority of the human genome has function. The lead paper reporting ENCODE's results stated, quote, these data enabled us to assign biochemical functions for 80% of the human genome, in particular outside of the well-studied protein coding regions, unquote. Ewan Burney, ENCODE's lead analysis coordinator, commented in Discover magazine that since ENCODE looked at only 147 types of cells, and the human body has a few thousand cell type, that, quote, it's likely that 80% will go to 100%, unquote. The same article quoted Tom Gingras, a senior scientist with ENCODE, noting that, quote, almost every nucleotide is associated with a function of some sort or another, and we know where they are and what binds to them and what their associations are and more. Another Nature commentary noted that, quote, 80% of the human genome contains elements linked to biochemical functions, dispatching the widely held view that the human genome is mostly junk DNA, unquote. Discover magazine put it this way, quote, the key point is, it's not junk, unquote. While there's still much we don't know about the genome, the trend line of the research is clearly pointing in one direction. The more we study the genome, the more we detect function for non-coding DNA. Yet the now dubious junk DNA paradigm was born and bred inside the evolutionary paradigm based upon the idea that our genome was built through random mutations. Yes, a few rogue biologists dared to seek function for non-coding DNA, but the Darwinian junk DNA view of genetics has generally hindered the progress of science, as was admitted by a 2003 article in the journal Science, which stated, quote, although catchy, the term junk DNA for many years repelled mainstream researchers from studying non-coding DNA. Who except a small number of genomic clochards would like to dig through genomic garbage? However, in science, as in normal life, there are some clochards who, at the risk of being ridiculed, explore unpopular territories. Because of them, the view that junk DNA, especially repetitive elements, began to change in the early 1990s. Now, more and more biologists regard repetitive elements as a genomic treasure, unquote. Despite widespread Darwinian assumptions to the contrary, the paper concluded that, quote, repetitive elements are not useless junk DNA, but rather are important integral components, unquote, of animal genomes. Studies suggest that these long stretches of non-coding DNA between genes, quote, constitute an important layer of genome regulation across a wide spectrum of species, unquote. Like repetitive elements, another kind of junk DNA for which function is being discovered is pseudogenes. Pseudogenes are thought to be copies of once functional genes that have been inactivated through mutations. One paper in Science Signaling observes that, quote, pseudogenes have long thought to be dismissed as junk DNA, but notes, quote, recent advances have established that the DNA of a pseudogene, the RNA transcribed from a pseudogene, or the protein translated from a pseudogene can have multiple diverse functions, and that these functions can affect not only their parental genes, but also unrelated genes. Therefore, pseudogenes have emerged as a previously unappreciated class of sophisticated modulators of gene expression, with a multifaceted involvement in the pathogenesis of human cancer, unquote. Indeed, functions for many pseudogenes have already been uncovered. The ENCODE project alone found over 850 pseudogenes that are transcribed and associated with active chromatin. But what exactly are those pseudogenes doing? A 2011 paper in the journal RNA argues that they can regulate the expression of genes, stating, quote, pseudogenes have long been labeled as junk DNA, failed copies of genes that arise during the evolution of genomes. However, recent results are challenging this moniker. Indeed, some pseudogenes appear to harbor the potential to regulate their protein-coding cousins, unquote. Likewise, a paper in the journal RNA Biology similarly stated that, quote, pseudogenes were long considered as junk genomic DNA, unquote, but, quote, pseudogene regulation is widespread, unquote, in complex multicellular organisms. The paper proposed that, quote, the high abundance and conservation of the pseudogenes in a variety of species indicate that selective pressures preserve these genetic elements and suggest that they may perform important biological functions, unquote. Pseudogenes serve as another good example of how Darwinian biologists assumed that non-coding DNA they didn't understand was functionless junk, and thus ignored their functions. Indeed, the aforementioned paper in RNA Biology explains that one reason why evolutionists have been slow to abandon the assumption that pseudogenes are junk is because their functions are difficult to detect. These authors observe that, quote, almost all pseudogenes exhibit significant biological activity and are expressed in specific tissue or cell lines, unquote, meaning that only specific tissues or cell lines may use a given pseudogene for some function. Additionally, it's difficult to detect function for pseudogenes because we have lacked the research tools to understand how they influence gene expression. The paper predicts that, quote, more and more functional pseudogenes will be discovered as novel biological technologies are developed in the future, and concludes, quote, the study of functional pseudogenes is just at the beginning, unquote. Indeed, two leading biologists writing an annual review of genetics reported that, quote, pseudogenes that have been suitably investigated often exhibit functional roles, unquote. Many evolutionary biologists are wedded to the view that our genomes are full of junk and resist the interpretation that virtually all of DNA has function. Indeed, a 2012 evolution textbook teaches that, quote, over half the genome is composed of neither genes nor vestiges of genes nor regulatory regions. Instead, it is made of a parasitic-like segments of DNA, unquote. Meanwhile, the evidence continues to point in the opposite direction. While much remains to be learned about the workings of our genome, the research trend line is unambiguous. The more we study non-coding DNA, the more we find evidence of widespread function, not junk. I'm Casey Luskin with ID of the Future, and there's actually a bonus problem coming in a final edition of this series of the top 10 problems with biological and chemical evolution. Stay tuned for more on ID of the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.